Full House today. Sitting to the left of me, international basketball star, best-selling author,
Thank you.
Alex Owumi. Sitting diagonal from me.
Wait, what's your last name?
Owumi.
Owumi?
Yeah.
Iconic radio legend from the Howard Stern Show, Jackie the Joke Man Martin.
You can call me Owumi.
And then sitting across me, the man who killed Osama bin Laden, my buddy, Rob O'Neill. Welcome to this
Thank you for having us, degenerates.
Right now.
Owumi. Everybody has tattoos except for me and Edna.
Rob, are you upset that Keith Olbermann isn't sitting next to us right
now? Wasn't that funny that he did that? He just kind of called me out on something.
Yeah, what's your beef with Keith
Olbermann?
I don't know.
You know what's funny is I've been a fan of Keith Olbermann like forever. Ever since like the Way Downtown Bang. Love that stuff. And he turned into a crazy person at some point. And he called me out for something. I don't even remember what it was, but I know I was right because I usually am, and he's usually. And I know he's just, you know, he's the kind of guy sitting at the dinner table eating his own shit, and so he was. But no, it was like my first reaction, like, were you mad? I'm like, mad. I'm honored. Like, not only is Olbermann hitting me up, but I'm going to get more followers. This is
the best part.
Well, he can go off.
He's a lunatic.
You don't know what direction.
Jackie,
you know.
He went off, and then Rob goes, by the way, I love you with Dan Patrick, but you weren't even being a dick. You were like, I like you.
Well, I also mentioned, too, I mean, you know, granted, Dan Patrick still has a job.
where are you working tomorrow?
Yeah. No, but seriously, like, even now, I don't have a problem with Olbermann. I thought it was kind of awesome. I'm good buddies with the Ducey family from Fox News, and Peter Ducey was one time the worst human in the world, according to Olbermann, and we all felt the same way. It's like, oh, my God, this is awesome. So, whatever, he's fine.
All right, so you just got back from the Indianapolis 500.
Yes.
Compare that to the Kentucky Derby.
What are you, an asshole? One is cars and one is horses.
Oh, thanks, Jack. That's what they are. I'm talking about the experience.
I'll tell you what. I was amazed at how fast those horses drove those cars.
500 times around the lap.
I couldn't make it to the Indy 500, so I just went to the toilet and flushed down some Skittles. What's the crap?
No, that was cool. I mean, they're both different experiences because the Indy 500 is more. You know, it's obviously a shorter thing. I think that's the best party I've ever been to, and Indy was just, it was amazing. I'm so impressed with the drivers. A good friend of mine, Graham Rahal, was one of the drivers. Bobby Rahal is his dad. He won it, and David Letterman was there, and he owned the car and the suite we were in. That's another just a comedic genius. It's hard.
Is he still?
Yeah. I thought he was Taliban, and then he started talking, and turned out he was.
That is some beard. Jesus,
yeah, he looks good.
There's Mexicans living in there.
The same class of people go to the Kentucky Derby and the Indy 500. They dress the same, right, with the fancy hats and the
nice
gloves.
I think it's a little different because in the middle of the Indy 500, they were because the infield's so big. There's like three or four of the holes of the golf course are in there. Like it's a 2.5 mile loop,
track,
and so there's a rave going on.
That's completely different than a racetrack.
Well,
right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It totally is, and because there's a rave going on in the middle of the day. So you've got
it's a big.
You've got snowflakes doing Molly, listening to techno, and then you've got rednecks that are drinking, watching race. It's an awesome experience. Yeah.
And they're all cool with each other? Like, there's no
other than puking on each other, everyone's fine.
But everything's cool at that, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Guy, you're a diehard sports fan.
Yeah.
I always ask this question. One sporting event that you wish you could have attended in your whole lifetime?
Like anything at all?
Yeah, you don't know the outcome, but like mine would be like the 32 World Series, Babe Ruth calling the shot.
You know what I think it would have been is watching Leitner hit that shot against Kentucky.
Why would you say
I don't
that?
Know. No, I know. Look, I know you love Kentucky. I'm sorry. I could have brought up with all the times the Red Sox beat the Yankees. Give me some love there.
All right, motherfucker.
Hey.
Is that really a thing?
No, I think so because Leitner was misrepresented, and he is an asshole, but he wasn't like a rich preppy asshole. He like grew up in a tough spot, and he just did a good job. And that shot against Kentucky was incredible. You know, Thomas Hill, I believe his name, is crying his eyes out, which is pretty.
But Sean Woods hits a shot. That's the day I became a Kentucky fan.
Yeah. Wow,
that was a huge day in my life.
Either that or maybe watching Jordan win against the Cavs. They didn't win the title that year.
The Craig Elo shot.
Yeah.
When he jumped over Craig
Elo. I'm sorry, which Craig Elo shot? Jordan kind of made a habit out of Craig Elo.
Now, Alex plays basketball. Alex, tell me.
Unfortunately.
Tell me your first game. Who'd you play against your first game?
Kevin Durant.
No, you did not.
His first college game, yeah. He was 18 years old. He was a tall, skinny kid, but he just destroyed. You could see he was going to be good, though.
Yeah, you can tell.
He had a look in his eyes. He was very quiet, like a silent killer.
Yeah.
Well, he's still the same way.
Oh, he is. I think they're going to sweep. And I think it's because he's a 7-footer that runs like a point guard.
Yeah.
He's got the Splash Brothers. Once they decide to show up, seriously, I just – Durant.
Clay, yeah.
I think Durant is – I think LeBron's obviously – LeBron is so good, he's not even considered for the MVP anymore. Yeah. It's like, what's that joke they say?
It's like,
hey, so how much does a weatherman in Hawaii make? Who fucking cares? Yeah, okay. No one cares. LeBron's LeBron. He just does. He gets better the older he gets. But the Splash Brothers show up. Durant's running the floor the way he does. I don't think because Kevin Love chokes every. I don't give it. Even when they won last year, Love wasn't around.
You think a sweep though?
Sweep.
Wait, Rob, ready for this one?
I'm thinking so. Yeah.
Alex, professional basketball player. Who's going to win the series?
I still got Cavs.
He's
in
an idiot. He's kidding.
I still got Cavs in seven.
How?
Cavs in seven.
I still got Cavs in seven.
I'm saying.
Were you saying the same thing last year?
Golden State in four. No, Cavs were going to win last year.
Yeah, even when they got blown out the first.
Yeah,
two games?
Yeah. That was LeBron's time to prove that he's the best in the world. You know, he went down to Cleveland. He's from Akron. I went to his favorite burger joint yesterday too. By the way, he's right about that too. Really? Turns out LeBron's right about a lot of shit. No, it was the Stenson something. I forgot. They're gonna,
Thurman's in Ohio. That's a spot to go.
It's
to.
Good, but no, this I know it's they're gonna. I'm saying a sweep.
My total connection to the basketball world.
Oh God,
Magic Johnson had his own talk show, and we used to break his balls about it on the Stern Show till he called up and invited Howard to come on the show, and Howard said, give me a way to get out of this. Give me something that they won't let us do. So me and Fred came up with an idea, and they said yes. And Howard did Magic Johnson's talk show, and me and Fred and Howard and Scott, the engineer, Howard was on keyboard, and Scott was on drums, and Fred was on guitar, and I was on bass, and we had two listeners bent over, a guy and a girl. Jeez. And we played the song Wipeout. You know the song Wipeout? It stops for the drums. Mm-hmm. But every time it stopped for the drums, the guy and the girl farted. And we did that on WABC, I think it was, ABC
and they,
TV.
And they didn't pick that up.
We're like, of course he's not going to say yes to that. And he says, all right, we'll come if you let us play Wipeout and let the people fart during the breaks. And they said, okay. It's on YouTube.
You know what, I'm glad you brought up Stern.
So that's as much basketball as I know. So you know, I don't know anything.
Well, you got to meet Magic. I never met Magic.
So Rob's done radio. That's all you've been doing is radio and TV and shit.
Yeah, a little bit of TV, mostly radio. Yeah.
He's going to get on the Stern Show.
Oh, I'd love to.
And that's what he wants to get on. He was on Opie. He was on all those shows before.
Did you approach them?
Not yet.
Well, don't tell me you met me. Yeah,
Let me ask you this. A big-time guy's going in there. How do you, Howard, Fred, approach that? I always want to know. You got a real guest. Oh, we got Rob O'Neill in. The man who killed Bin Laden. How do you and Stern? How does that work?
It doesn't work. What happens is, I haven't been there in 15 years, but what happens is when a guest is coming in, we would come up with questions that would be fun and goofy things to say or maybe a piece of business to do. But for the most part, you just sit there and there's nothing to it. A lot of people are so spooked when they go in there because they've heard, you know, the bark is so much bigger than the bite. I remember Sam Kennison walked in there and nobody knew it at the time, but it was the beginning of his career, but he was totally intimidated. He came in and sat down.
Sam Kennison?
Wow. And after a few minutes, he turned to me and Fred and said, what's the big deal? This guy's charming. And we're like, yeah, because, you know, publicists are like, hey, you go in there, they're going to chop your head off, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you, if you go in there with an attitude or if you're full of shit, you're in trouble. But if you're just a normal person, you know, you go in there and you have a great time. It's easy.
Is he the greatest interviewer of our time?
No, I am. No. He is a great interviewer, and he's magical. He knows how to get stuff out of people, and he knows, you know, he'll know when you're lying or when you're not lying. And he can be confrontational if it, you know, if it works, but not for the sake of it. They would love you.
I'd love to be there.
But you didn't get rejected. You just
I just don't think we asked them yet. I think it's one of those things where everyone says, "Yeah, no, he's too high up that you can't get on the show." It's like I think they would want to talk.
No, yeah. Come on. But you know, I hope this didn't poison you. You know, it's so funny. I miss him. I left the show 2 months before McCartney went on, which is when, you know, people say, do you regret leaving the show? Yeah, because I know I'm a dirty joke teller. I know McCartney's a dirty joke teller. And I know that we had
really?
A great time together. And
You're talking about Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Dirty joke teller?
And in fact, if you Google McCartney and GOAT, a filthy joke comes up of McCartney sitting there in front of a blue screen. You know, it's the old joke. You
What's
know,
the joke?
You know,
don't butcher it.
Guy's having a beer, you know, in Ireland, and he says, you know, you see that fence out there? It's a beautiful fence. Do you think the guy that built it, you think they call him Harry the Fence Builder? No. And look at that pint you pulled. You pulled me a beautiful pint. But do they call you Charlie the Pint Puller? No. But you fuck one goat. Isn't that for Courtney? And I used to have a radio show, so we'd play that. They'd say, hey, Paul, you got a joke? You know. And I was so pissed. You know, you talk about what to say. When he went on the show, I know this guy, Bill Porcelli, that was with him when he went on the show. And Bill's a huge Stern fan. And McCartney said to him, what do I do? You know, he wasn't nervous, but, you know, you want to be accepted as the biggest radio show anywhere. And Porcelli said, you know what, you want to shake people up? Go out there and say F Jackie. And he told him. And when he went out there, could you imagine if fucking McCartney had said F Jackie? It would have made my life. But I don't know whether he forgot or decided not to or whatever, but you know, I finally got to tell McCartney a joke. Because my girlfriend, Barbara, my lovely girl, I always told her if I had McCartney for 5 minutes, you know, if you, like you guys like to talk sports, you know, if you get another person, you could talk, you're immediately going to have a bond, you know, like hockey players or anything that's tight.
Yeah, there's three athletes here in you, Jackie, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll have to get a tattoo. So... I know the joke tellers, if I had them for 2 minutes, I would have them, you know, and Howard always, you know, oh, bullshit, he would hate you, blah, blah, blah. Don't tell me. So we're at the screening for The Big Short, and there's a lot of, you know, it's Tina Fey and Lorne Michaels, so there's a pretty nice group of people. Like, you know, I must have snuck in. And McCartney comes down the stairs with his wife, and Barbara's like, oh, go tell him a joke. I said, you can't go and, you know, there's not a person in this room that doesn't think they have a great reason to tell Paul McCartney where they were in 1964. He doesn't care.
No,
you know,
yeah, like, he had some shit going
on. The fact that nobody does that in New York is why he can go out, because people don't stop you on the street, you know? So he comes down, and the guy walked around the outskirts of the room and came right by me. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I just stopped him.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, can I tell you a joke? He said, sure. So I'll tell you a joke. I tell him, like... A guy goes for a job interview, and the interviewer says, what do you think is your biggest fault? The guy says, I think my biggest fault is my honesty. And the interviewer says, I don't think honesty is a fault. The guy says, I don't give a fuck what you think. And he goes, that's a good one. But he didn't say, I got one for you. You know, he walked away.
I have a McCartney story, too. I ran into him at the Super Bowl. It was here in New York, and I was with Dave Grohl, who's the lead singer of the Foo Fighters, used to be the drummer for Nirvana.
Fucking name drop. I hate his name.
I'm name dropping. Hey, whatever.
That's good. Yeah, I want that. That's good. That's cool.
You're allowed to.
I name drop Alex.
So,
get him on the phone. We went back up the story.
I talked to Dave Grohl, and I was saying, hey, my sister's a huge Nirvana fan, obviously Foo Fighters fan. Can we get a picture and all this stuff? And he said yes. And then Paul McCartney came down, and Dave said, hey, do you want a picture with me and Paul McCartney? I'm like, oh, absolutely. So we took this picture. It's me, Paul McCartney, and Dave Grohl, which is just awesome. I sent it to my sister on a text, and she responded with, oh, my God, Dave Grohl, I love him. And that old lady looks like Paul McCartney.
Oh, I know you. I know you. He looks like his own grandmother, doesn't he? Was she being funny?
No, she was serious. I'm like, that's Paul. That is Sir Paul McCartney.
I'm a child of the 60s. That's sacrilegious.
That's what I said.
As true as it is, that's sacrilegious.
Oh, my God.
That's hysterical.
The name dropping you guys can do is just phenomenal.
Oh, but that's funny as shit.
The name dropping me and Alex do. Alex, can you name drop anybody or no?
I name dropped.
He already did. Kevin Durant. You kidding me?
Kevin Durant.
Oh, listen, with his first game, because this is what men do to each other. Yeah. What man move did you move? Did you do with Kevin Durant? Listen
to this man. Move.
Hand job?
Now that'll get 3 seconds in the key.
Close. Well, what'd you do? Listen,
you talking about what he did to me?
No, what'd you do to him with the?
Oh, with the shorts. Oh, after the game, I walked up to him. I said, "Can I get your shorts?"
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Good.
So he has Kevin Durant shorts. Awesome. Basketball first shorts, ever game.
Sitting in my mother's basement still, just sitting there.
Oh,
I haven't watched him yet.
No, don't wait. All right. Haven't watched him yet, and I'm wearing fucking bandana.
I'm not a sports guy. When you say, "Can I get your shorts?" Does that mean he gave you his shorts?
Yeah, like his shorts.
I mean, it's not an expression for some.
Like, bloom.
No. This is basketball shorts. Like, this is not his underwear.
No. Just that he played in that game.
A little shaky here.
Jackie's not convinced.
No. I'm just trying to, you know, European step here, you know.
So, Rob, are you pissed now that we're not doing the Bin Laden show that you've done 8 million times already?
No, this is no, it's awesome. I'm tired of telling that story. I mean, it's a story about just awesome people that did stuff, and I just happened to be in a spot that did
you
something
know,
else.
We're that kind of related because I shot on his sister's face.
You just
sorry.
I love that. Here's why I love Jackie. If you read the comedian's book, don't ever laugh at your own jokes. That's all you do is laugh, and that's why you're fucking awesome.
The two things you don't do if you want to be a comedian is you don't tell old jokes and you don't laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's all I do. I don't do any bits, and I just laugh.
And laugh at yourself.
Do you guys play golf? You want to hear a great golf joke?
I'd love to.
Jackie, just tell jokes all the time.
A guy walks in the clubhouse, and his face is all scratched up and bloody. And the pro says, "What happened to you?" He says, "I just blew an eagle."
I heard one about a woman that went to take golf lessons, and they kind of sent her off. She's talking to the pro. She went out golfing, and about 5 minutes later, she came running back to the pro shop, and she said, "You got to help me. I got stung by a bee. And the pro said, "Where?" And she goes, "In between the first and second hole." And the pro said, "Yeah, it sounds like your stance is too wide."
That's great. That's classic.
Hold on, Alex, your golf joke. Go.
I have none.
So all you do is the same shit, really, over and over, which is your thing right now, the Bin Laden thing, pigeonholed into it. What do you do to escape different shit?
Well, I mean, I don't tell
it. I want to hear the story. I don't know
it's,
about it.
No, I mean, there's so much. There's so much more to it because the Bin Laden story is like chapter 23 of the book.
Yeah, but what do you do to escape? Like the same, tell the same shit over and over every.
Seriously, like we were talking about earlier, go to sporting events, check out Indy 500, go to the NBA Finals. I went to the Stanley Cup down in Nashville.
Did you?
Yeah, I was just there for Game 3.
When they won the Penguins?
Yeah, they won twice. 5-1? By the way, too, it's 2-2. That was impressive too, just because I do a lot of stuff with psychological stuff as far as mindset type stuff and how athletes do well. The keeper from Nashville, he was 0-9 going home against the Pens, to the point where it's like, are we going to sit him? Because like you can't get over that shit. And they said, we're going to get one more shot in Game 3. And they won, I think, 5-1.
Yeah.
And then you see him crush it last night. He was amazing. Yeah. So now that's the opposite of a negative mindset. Now he's like, I can't beat these guys. And that's what they're doing. So
they were down 2-0, right?
2-0.
And they were down 1-0
They got crushed. And now they came back. It was pretty cool to see it.
And they were down 1-0 in that game you were at, right?
Yeah, both games. They were down 1-0 in both games. And then they came back and they kept doing well.
I don't know if it's still current.
Probably not.
So I'm going to make a fool of myself. But I was at Cannes, and we're at some big, huge VIP party at the Cannes Film Festival.
Excuse me.
And some guy came up and said, wow, Joke Man, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan. Hey, nice to meet you. Yeah, let's take a picture. And I said, all right. So then I took a picture, too. I had no idea who it was. And then my buddy, Tom Bernard, the guy I'm always with over there from Sony Pictures Classics, comes over to me and says, you don't even know who that was. I said, no. He says, that was Sidney Crosby. Is that his name?
Is he still
on the Penguins?
He's there.
Because that was like 5 or 10 years ago.
I'm still amazed he hasn't had his ass whooped. He's a dirty player.
I heard.
He's awesome, though, isn't he?
And plus, if he's listening to this, you tell him I said so, because I'm dying for him to fight Keith Olbermann.
I still have a picture of us, Crosby, so if you want me to delete it, send $400.
To Joke Man?
To Jokeland at AOL.com. Oh, I'm going to plug something.
Of course.
I tweet a joke every day at 4:20 marijuana time. At Jackie Martling, JACKIEMARTLING.
I always say the one joke you had that ever made me laugh was the one when you said the wife with the husband, you want me to keep, how do you say it?
No, you don't want him to tell it? Screws the pooch. The wife says, get out! Get the fuck out! As her husband's walking out the door, she says, I hope you die a slow, painful death. He says, so now you want me to stay? That's the best joke there was. And you almost wrecked it.
I'm saying
you should tattoo that fucking joke on your hand.
That's a tattoo.
Now, I heard a joke that my brother Tom, who we just texted, he's a big fan of yours, because I told him I was going to meet you, and he's like, there's got to be a joke that Jackie Martling has never heard. So here it is.
Well, I always note them, so I'll be rude and stop.
What's the worst thing you can hear when you're giving Willie Nelson a blowjob?
I'm not Willie Nelson. Me and Willie email jokes back and forth. Last week he emailed me, bad breath's better than no breath at all. He's such a character. He's a great guy.
When I asked you who the coolest person on your phone, you never told me Willie Nelson. That's a great person to have.
I love him. I love him.
All right, so you can get him on the show.
I got...
thanks, Jack.
Look at him. He's always doing this.
We...
it works. It works.
I have eight... Yeah, look, I sent you that link. See, you don't read it. You don't watch it. I sent you the link. Me and... I was in Willie's bus.
I can't write to him.
I was in Willie's bus for an eight-minute tape that his daughter shot of me and Willie sitting at the table telling dick jokes.
Telling dick jokes.
8 minutes. It's just great. He's just the greatest character.
And you're right. I don't know how I'm getting these guests. Edna over there, the greatest person ever from Jack Dempsey's, 36 West 33rd Street, around the corner from the Empire State Building. He's like, who's coming on today? Alex, with me, Jackie, Marlon, Robin. He goes, how the fuck did you get? I'm like, I don't know.
Because he's a name drop.
You had Cooney, right? I got him Cooney.
Oh, Jerry. Oh, well, Edna, come over here.
You don't like Cooney?
No, he loves Cooney. They have a great story together. You want to tell your Cooney story? Tell your Cooney story. Come here.
There's so many of them.
I'm like, oh, Jerry Cooney's coming on. Irish fight. He goes, I know Cooney. He starts telling me Jerry Cooney stories. Cooney comes up here for an hour. They're telling stories about different things that were pretty pretty kick-ass.
I know the man.
So that's Jerry Cooney, the Great White Hope.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys like you make fun of when he's not around. Oh. Don't say shit.
Here's the move of the year.
Because, fuck around. You might not be around.
I got the video, and I'm talking to Cooney just like this. I'm making fun of him, like hard. I make fun of him.
Oh, yeah.
Just really? Jabs me right in my face.
And a jab sucks.
I
knocked him right out.
We started comedy in 1979. We started comedy on Long Island at a club named Cinnamon that was upstairs in Huntington, and it was owned by Cooney's brother. So Cooney used to come to all the shows, and he'd get so fucking drunk, and he'd stand there, and while he's talking, he hit his hands are this big.
Oh, yeah.
And while he's talking, he'd swing his finger, and he'd hit you in the balls with his finger. It would hurt for hours.
How turned on with you, Jackie?
I loved it. Well, he's got a show on Sirius that you should do that. He's got a zillion.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Oh, you want to do it? We can get him on 30 seconds.
Yeah, I'd love to.
He does a great show.
I'm sure we get everybody on your podcast.
Oh, he was on.
This podcast is going to blow up.
You know what's great? I was texting people this morning. So I'll say right now, Michael Rappaport wants you on the show.
I wanted him to play me in my movie because he kind of he's got that same Brad Pitt shit that I got going on.
You told me I had that locked up. What the?
The only reason we invited you, you're on Artie Lang's show, you and everybody else. Whose show are you getting Rob O'Neill on? Artie Lang, Gilbert Gottfried. You're getting these legend in the industry. Who are you going to get Rob on?
Did you do Gilbert?
No. You know Gilbert Gottfried, right?
Yeah, I know.
Artie just stopped doing his.
Okay. Gilbert Gottfried's fucking awesome.
He's hilarious.
Joey Reynolds is. Still got a lot of listeners. What about Sid and Bernie? Do you know Bernie and Sid's show on WABC?
Wait, Bernie from Imus?
Yeah.
Jackie, you didn't hook me up with one of these shows, Jackie.
I just did it last week myself. I haven't seen it.
No, you know what you gotta do?
The last time I saw Bernie, he was an intern in 1982 when I went into NBC.
How fucking old are you, Jackie?
Yeah,
Holy fuck, how old is Jackie?
I wasn't born.
How old is Jackie? I was one, Jackie.
I'm going to be 54.
No, bullshit. I told Jackie, I'm like, Jackie, you look really fucking good for your age. And then he goes on a rant how he doesn't look good, right, Jack?
So a girl calls the doctor, and she says, Doc, I have diarrhea. Can I take a bath? He says, if you have enough. That's the funniest. And you can tell that joke to a 5-year-old.
Really, Jack?
So disgusting. It's a poop joke.
If you have enough.
Yeah, it's enough.
A 5-year-old?
Sure.
Yeah, that'll go well.
That's a good joke.
Of course it's a good joke. You know, you shoot him, I tell him. That's how we work here.
What do me and Alex do?
Huh? He just shoots watch. And... You get tattoos.
I'm not bringing anything.
You can't talk camera. About what you do. You know.
Thanks, Jack. Wait,
I'm sure every guy doesn't pay you either.
Oh shit!
So we were golfing yesterday in Ohio, and I asked someone, "What's the difference between Lady Godiva and a lost golf ball?"
Looking for a lost golf ball is a hunt on a course.
Do you know every fucking
he is the joke?
Yes,
he knows
I do. That's my job. That's the only that's thing I know. I can't think of the guy's name from the stupid Memphis 3.
Damien Eccles? Oh, the cop.
The guy who...
Oh, yeah. He was sitting here having trouble thinking of his name.
Yeah.
He had to come back to you.
He's old as fuck. That's why.
Yeah.
So you get him on Godfrey or no?
I'm sure they would love to have you.
That sounds like a lot.
I'm sure we can work it out. We don't need to pimp everything on the...
No, see, I don't think he knows. And here's the thing. He went on Francesa. Oh, dude, how great was Francesa?
Yeah, he's good. Really good interview.
Wait, tell everybody what happened afterward. How Francesa was just ripping Olbermann, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he said, I told him, there's a thing that I might have to fight Olbermann for like a charity thing, whatever. So that'll be a lot of money, raising fucking 7 seconds. And he just said, he goes, and he goes, yeah.
Wow, the next level shit right there.
Yikes.
No, and he just said, yeah, get in line. Everybody wants to fight Overman. I still, just for the record, I don't have a problem with Overman. I think he's awesome.
We had a fight at Gleason's gym like 30 years ago. It was Frank Stallone, not Sylvester, Frank Stallone against Geraldo Rivera. They were breaking each other's balls, and one of them, you know, said, hey, you want to fight? To the other one, fucking around. And Howard put together, was that in the boxing ring at Gleason's?
Did they fight?
I was sitting ringside. It's the first time I ever saw a fight, and they were really hitting me. I was like, wow.
Oh, this is real.
And Frank won. Frank's walking down the avenue holding up this fake belt. Like, Frank, it's not real, you fucking idiot.
I know both those dudes, and I was talking to, Frank's a great guy. So is Geraldo. I work with him at Fox.
Real good guy.
And I told him the other day, I ran into him, and he says, hey, when are you getting married? I said, I'm getting married this time at Cape Cod at the Chatham Bars Inn. And he goes, oh, Chatham Bars Inn's a great place to get married. I got married there twice.
Is your beautiful fiance coming here?
I don't know. I'm going to try to talk her into it.
Dude. I fell in love with Falmouth Heights. Falmouth Heights. You're getting married?
Yeah, I got a girl from Boston.
Dude,
I'm married.
Congratulations.
Well, she was
how
funny.
How long has she been pregnant?
Jackie, he outkicked his coverage.
Oh my gosh, she's so hot. Really? Yeah, yeah.
I think my girlfriend's out of my league.
Yeah, way out of my league. She's like 17 years younger. She's from Hingham, Mass. She was actually a Barstool Sports Smoke Show girl. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, was she really?
Well, make sure you tour a lot.
The first night we met, it was me and him and our two girlfriends. We're so out of our league. It's not even fucking funny, these two girls.
That's great. That's
great. I mean, because I met your girlfriend and she's Asian, so obviously my first assumption is obviously she can't drive.
I thought she was a hooker.
She's the mellow of the bride. She's right here.
I'm trying to make sure she's not hitting me with something. I'm just kidding.
As she drives over there. Oh, she has some temper, though. She does. She's the
You
most,
are way out of your league.
Oh, she's so out of my league. First female, and she's so out of my league. This is like a
first female.
Oh, my God. She's the beautiful, right, Jackie?
I never met her, but I saw a picture, right?
You saw a picture of her, and her cousins were all at the show. Remember the old eight? They were all at the show last time.
Who would know? First all those female, guys? Those guys look more alike than themselves.
I said to him,
you or you him?
They're just sitting there like, who the fuck is this?
Before Mike met her, he was used to the thing he used to do in prison, like the seal with the in the circus with the horns.
Throw him a fish. Hey, those days are over. No more Ringling Brothers Bar and Billy. You're not getting laid anymore. Down,
That's my only chance of getting laid is from the circus. Thanks, Jack. Real fucking.
That'd be a good day for a book. Do they serve booze at the circus?
He's so excited. They said they were going to have a seal on the show. He thought it meant a real seal. He had a heart on.
Here, walked in. Here I was thinking to come in. I'm like, hey, don't grab my ears, homie. I know what I'm doing.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. Yeah. Let's go.
Not enough dick jokes.
Was it one dick joke yet?
Yeah, and I don't want to do that with Alex. I'd hate to say I love you from across the fucking room.
So a guy goes into a library.
Alex is screenshotting it. Let me get that. That's me in my new ringtone.
A guy goes into a library and says to the librarian, I want a book on suicide. She says, fuck you. You won't bring it back. Caught it.
What a horrible idea having Jackie Martling on the show tonight.
All right, so I got a book coming out, you guys. It's not about killing anybody. It's not about famous basketball players and not about having girls that are over your head. This is my autobiography. It's got 5 seconds about me, and the rest of it's about the Stern Show, and it's going to be a killer. October 24th, and if you listeners are listening, JackieTheJokeMan.com. Go there, pre-order it. It's easy to wrap. You can give it to as a Jewish present or a Christian present or whatever present. It's easy to wrap. It's good for the holidays. Order 100 of them so I can retire and not have to do this stupid fucking show.
Jackie, don't you have the book in front of you? Is that the actual book?
Yeah, I'm going to hold it up on the radio.
No, Rob. He brings around this book, Rob, and he makes people take pictures of the book, so you think it's his book. It's a fucking piece of paper over some other book. So it's not even.
That also works on the radio.
That's smart.
It's someone else's book. That's how I met my wife.
It just happens to be my own book, you hard on.
So he walks around. I'm like, oh, Jackie, is that the new book? He's like, well, that hasn't come out.
There's me and Howard and Leslie West and Sam Kinison. And there's Barry Williams that used to fuck Flo.
That's you?
This is intriguing podcasting. Tell us, Jackie, about other pictures in your book that everyone can see. Go, Jackie. Let's hear it.
No, just show it to us.
Thanks, Jackie. Yeah.
What you're forgetting is it's your podcast that we're fucking up. So kill us, kill as much as you want. I don't care.
Wait, let me ask you this one because I knew.
When is this going on the air?
Tonight.
Seriously?
Yeah, yes.
Last time I did this show, it didn't go on for a week.
It wasn't
month.
Good. No, it's going on tonight.
So June 17th, I'm at the brokerage on Long Island. Saturday night, June 17th. That's assuming that this is going to be on the air before that.
It's going on tonight.
Yeah.
We'll have Rob retweet it. Alex will retweet
it. We'll do it, yeah.
They have a ton of fucking followers, and we'll retweet it. Are you going to be funny, though, Jackie? Don't make me have people.
Are you going to be funny? Are you kidding me?
He hasn't killed yet, though, Rob.
What?
He's being below average right now.
He knows every joke in my arsenal.
So, a girl calls.
I think it's pretty cool.
This is for the girls.
This is for the girls.
A girl calls
this
the
one's
gynecologist.
For the ladies.
She says, "Doc, I'm freaking out." She calls the gynecologist. She says, I'm freaking out. I keep finding postage stamps from Costa Rica in my vagina. This lady goes on postage stamps. Those are the stickers from bananas. See?
Look at him. He couldn't even get the joke
out. I love it.
So this is going to be awesome when we're all fired on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, it is Monday.
Yeah. Tuesday morning when we all...
Yeah, yeah.
A couple's in the living room. He says, "You're dry tonight." She says, "You're licking the rug." All right, I'm done.
Jackie Marley.
Who shot Bin Laden? I think it was JR.
Oh,
that's crazy.
I think he had a shot or two on Bin Laden. Did you?
Yeah, three times.
Three times.
Yeah, but no, that was all because of the guys that got me there. I was on a serious note. I was actually lucky because of the way that stuff went down. I had a front row seat to the greatest mission in the history of mankind, and I just kind of watched stuff happen. And we got to the top of a certain floor and turned a corner, watched a guy do one thing, and ran into Bin Laden. And,
so everybody hit home runs, you walked up and bunted, and you got all the fucking turn.
I just watched a guy jump on suicide bombers that didn't go off, and I just turned. And I remember going up the stairs. It wasn't even being brave. It wasn't like, yeah, here. It was like, let's get this over with. He's gonna, because I've dealt with suicide bombers before, but Bin Laden's gonna blow himself up. And so we went up the stairs. He did this, and I went that way, and he was just standing there, and I saw him. And it was over before I knew it happened.
That's so crazy.
Wow. Bro, you want to do one favor? Because actually, we weren't gonna talk about Bin Laden. But Alex, I want you to tell him your story in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Your story is crazy. But just tell him the one part of the story when you walked up the stairs with Bin Laden's son, because this is truthfully, the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, when we went up the stairs, there was actually a woman that found Osama Bin Laden, and she's the one that told us where to go. And she didn't know what the house looked like inside, but she was adamant about, you know, he'll be here, whatever. And she said, when you get to, she said, I don't know where the stairs are, but I'm right. When you get to the stairs, you're going to run into Khalid Bin Laden, who's his like 19 or 20-year-old son. He'll be armed, and he's the last line of defense. So you run into that dude, and then you get a shot at the big guy. Mm-hmm. So and like I said,
why did this woman help you? Did she? Well, no, she was delivering
pizza. She worked at one of the three-letter agencies.
Okay.
She was tracking him. Her job was that.
Yeah, she's an American, Jackie, like us.
Yeah.
Okay.
She,
I thought it was his wife. I'll get that motherfucker.
I promised in my book I wouldn't say her agency.
I'm sure you can figure it out.
So we're so we got to those stairs and walking up, and I'm like eight dudes back. So we got the point man, and we got a bunch of dudes, like seven dudes and me, and I'm looking up. And normally, and I've been in so many gunfights, like if you're going upstairs, you're that far back, you want to grab some dudes and pull them back, because if someone chucks a grenade, they're going to blow everyone up. But I was at this point, I'm like, you know, I got to see what goes down. I got to watch this. So I'm going to stay here. And so the point man was going up the stairs, and like a little banister came back, and there's two grown men. So one Khalid, one my point man, want to murder each other. And it's separated by 10 inches.
Wow.
And I'm like, I got to see what happens. And all of a sudden, the point man just, he whispered, Khalid, come here. Khalid, come here, in two different languages, Urdu and Pashto. Or, sorry, Urdu and Arabic. And Khalid stuck his face over, confused. He goes, what? So he capped him.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I hope we live through tonight, because that's the people need to know what this guy did. The point man, he's the same guy that jumped on the damn suicide bombers.
So this point man, Bin Laden's son's right there. Boom, he kills Bin Laden's son by saying his name. Then you go to the top.
It's like, hey, you? Yeah, boom.
No, seriously.
I mean, that's, in his language.
That's like an old joke.
Yeah, in his language. But he knew his language. He knew his name.
So Bin Laden's son must have been like, who is you?
Yeah, what the hell?
So he did his homework.
So he did that. And then he was the one that led me up the stairs. And he's the guy that jumped on the suicide bombers. And I just followed him.
He jumped on the suicide bombers thinking that was going to blow everybody
up. They're going to blow
me up. Let me see.
The way it went down, and I can't say this on TV because it's funny, but when he did that, and I walked around, I'm like, man, I hope. You know, everyone knows what he did. Then I turned into the two man going up the next set of stairs, the point man, still the same dude. Mm-hmm. This guy still deserves a Medal of Honor. So we're going up the stairs, and I'm holding on to him, and I want more dudes, but I only have me. Mm-hmm. And he's telling me, you know, we got to get up there. And the way he told me, all bullshit aside, he said, hey, man, we got to go. Hey, man, we got to go. And all of a sudden, he said out loud, hey, man, these bitches is getting truculent.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I have a hand on his shoulder. I'm kind of laughing. I'm like, I don't think that word means what you think it means. And I'm like, fuck, let's go. So I squeezed, and we went up the stairs. He jumped on the grenades, and I turned a corner. There's Bin Laden. I shot him. And then I killed Bin Laden. The wife is there. His three-year-old son was there. I remember looking at three-year-old son, and I'm thinking, man, as a father, it's like, you know,
wow,
you got nothing to do with this, man. So I picked him up and set him down, and then it starts to sink in. And all the other SEALs are coming in now, and they're doing Navy SEAL shit. And one of my buddies came up to me, and he kind of looked at me, and he goes, hey, man, you good? And I said, yeah, what do we do now? And he had a smile from ear to ear. He goes, now we go find the computers, man. We've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. And I said, yeah, you're right. I'm back. And he goes, yeah, you just killed Bin Laden, man. Your life just changed. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I'm pretty sure I said, man, I just killed Bin Laden. That's a big deal. Maybe I'll get to meet Jackie Marley one day.
Let me ask you a true or false question right now.
Sure.
Because you know there's a million rumors out there. True or false, when Obama is addressing the nation, tonight evil has died. Mm-hmm. We have just killed Osama Bin Laden.
Yeah.
True or false, were you eating a sandwich over his body?
Yeah.
True story.
Are you fucking serious?
Because I read that somewhere.
They, yeah, that's true. They
deliver over there.
they brought us breakfast, and we were standing there, and we had Bin Laden's body because we brought it out, and Bin Laden was laying right there, and the President Obama came out and he said, you know, tonight I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted a mission to kill Osama Bin Laden, leader of Al Qaeda. And I was seriously standing there, and I'm eating a sandwich, watching President Obama give this address, and Bin Laden's body's right there. And I just remember thinking, how in the hell did I get here from Butte, Montana?
Jesus Christ.
Butte, Montana.
Hey, not to bring the room down.
Oh, Jackie, you don't know this, Jackie. Listen to this. Why'd you join the fucking military?
All because of a girl. I joined because I got dumped. I was playing college basketball.
Wow.
I got dumped by a girl. I'm like, I got to leave town.
You got to leave town.
And I went to join the Marine Corps. And the Marine recruiter wasn't there, and the Navy guy was. He talked me into it.
That's why I started playing the guitar. It's much safer. Women.
That's fucking crazy.
So, Rob, I actually never – we did this yesterday.
Well, I want to ask a question.
Go ahead, Jack.
How – was the three-year-old old enough to comprehend what had just happened?
I don't think so, and it was dark, so he couldn't see it. And I think it was one of those things where it doesn't matter. Like, he just needs to not be involved. Like
right.
It's a shitty thing.
That's crazy. Wow.
So I know we actually said his name. We made a joke. Alex Womening. Just briefly, listen to Alex's story. He's also a best-selling author. Listen to his story. His story's pretty...
Well, my story's pretty not the same thing.
No, it's Alex. Your story's intense,
not as crazy. Well, I played basketball for Muammar Gaddafi's team in Libya.
Get out of here.
No, Alex, come on. Alex played Alex was one of the best players in the country.
Tell his
story. No, because he missed the best part.
Yeah.
He played in Macedonia. There was a lot of racism. He dealt with a lot of racism. He tells his agent, listen, I need to get out of this bad situation. His agent, worst agent ever, is like, listen, I'm going to get you to Libya and play. Alex grew up in Africa, went to Boston. He's like, all right, bro, get me to Libya. Now tell the story.
So I get to Libya, and, you know, we're in Benghazi. So, So I'm like, as soon as I get there, I'm like, I need to be kind of somewhere safe. You know, the Benghazi, there's nothing there. I mean, it's just like flat land, desert land, no movies, no way to deliver food. You know, so they take me to this shitty street. It's called Shia Italia, called Italy Street. So I get there, streets is terrible. So they take me upstairs to this like fucking amazing penthouse suite. Like the couches have gold trimmings. I found out it was Gaddafi's son's little hideout.
It's in the middle of a horrible section.
Terrible. Like
it's an oasis
everywhere. It was crazy. Fine china. So I get there, I'm like, wow. You know, I kind of like, shit, I kind of
made it. I can play on Libby.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, shit, I kind of made it. So I called the team president who dropped me off. I'm like, where am I staying? He's like, oh, you're staying at the leader's one of his apartments. I'm like, oh, the leader? So I walk into the main bedroom, and it's a big picture of Muammar Gaddafi.
Uh-huh. Whoa.
Him with his sons. Like, these are personal pictures. And I'm like, shit. At the time, I didn't really comprehend. I just got out of a bad situation. Try to get into a better one. But long story short, the Arab Spring starts. It starts in Tunisia. So shit starts going crazy.
So what year was that?
This is 2010, I got there, December.
Yeah. Shit's about to go sideways.
Yeah, shit's about to go sideways. I mean,
that'd be a good name of a book, Sideways. the way shit's about to go.
But you weren't just in some guy high up. This is one of his places.
Yeah, this is one of his places.
Jack, so it's his son's place. Like, it's his son's penthouse. Place.
Yeah, his son who was in charge of the military, the 3rd Brigade. So, you know, this is crazy. So, you know, he got a bunch of these places all over the country. So I'm there. So December, Tunisia, the shit starts going on in Tunisia. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, things start spreading like wildfire. Then it skips Libya and goes to Egypt. But you know how that went. It went crazy. So my brother,
Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, it all went nuts.
So my brother calls me. So my teammates, matter of fact, were like, yo, February 14th, shit's going to hit the fan. You know, you kind of need to get out of here, and it's going to be a rebellion. So in my mind, I'm like, you guys aren't going to overthrow this guy. Like, he's like the richest guy in the world.
His
like,
pitch,
you know,
is my house.
Yeah, like, it's like, this ain't going to happen. So, like, it was like February 11th, February 12th, my brother calls me. He's like, you need to get the fuck out of there. So I'm like, kind of downplayed. I'm like, nah, this ain't going to happen. Small protests are going on in the city.
But when he says you got to get out of there, how?
I mean, just...
You can't call a cab.
Alex,
I mean,
tell him about the cab. Like, you missed practice.
No, I'm telling him. So February 14th, the day everything goes down, called the day of rage, everything goes down.
Yes, it did. Day of rage, I remember that.
The day of rage. Mm-hmm. My spoiled ass, I had a driver the whole time, take me fucking, drive me a mile to practice. I was spoiled. They spoiled the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. Had a driver. So my driver, I'm trying to call him, call's not going through. So I call my coach, and I go, what the fuck is a waiter? I'm like, I need to get to practice. My coach goes, my coach is already...
He's on the highway. He's in Italy, 100 miles away.
You can hear the wind from the window.
Hey, my bad. There's one thing I forgot to say.
The one call I forgot to make.
So he's like, you don't see what's going on outside? People are dying. It's like the military's coming in. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I go up to the top of my building, have a little dry clothes rack up there where I dry my clothes. I go up to the top of the building. And I see this fucking army man. So these aren't like Libyan military. These are like some different type of guys. Like
Eastern, that's Al-Qaeda right there.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Like Eastern European looking guys.
Like I'm saying, Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
they're fighting a jihad. Like, that's what they're...
They were literally coming. So it was like the militia was this way and the protesters were coming closer. But it was probably 100, 200 people protesters.
Yeah. Yeah.
They kept coming closer. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So I see this guy on the back of this Jeep with this big gun. And I'm like, there's no way he's about to shoot into the fucking crowd. So I go back downstairs literally to grab a water, come back upstairs. As soon as I come back upstairs, this guy just lets off in a crowd of like 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
Just dropping like fries, like flies. And literally the bottom of my water dropped in slow motion to the ground, and I dropped. And I was like, I can't believe this shit is happening. Mm-hmm. And then from there...
So you're up in a building and it's happening down there?
It's happening down. I can look down. Jeez. Literally, I can look down and see what's going on. So literally, long story short, as soon as I go back downstairs, they cut off the internet. They cut off cell phone service. Mm-hmm. Water's gone. I can't even reach out to anybody. I'm trying to, you know, at the time, Skype was good. So I Skype my family, my parents, shut everything down. So I was literally stuck there, long story short, for like another 3 weeks without food, water, and shit like that.
In the penthouse.
In the penthouse.
Jackie, no food, no water,
and
literally.
It's the crazy thing, because the whole time I was there, I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm in this like $2 million penthouse. It's like, I don't want to have like a piece of bread to eat. Like,
you know, are you alone up there?
I'm alone.
In this incredibly rich penthouse with no food. Oh, man.
If I could just sell off a fucking couch to get like some roast beef
you got to figure it's scary because like at this point, like Gaddafi's gone.
He's gone.
He'll be dead too.
Yeah.
None of that has matters. Wow.
Because you got to understand, I was so naive and I was saying, oh, this shit's going to be over in 3-4 days. So the food I had, I gave to my landlord. The food I had, I gave to my landlord's wife, granddaughter. He was on business in Tripoli, mm-hmm. So I was like, let me just give him some food. You know, they can't go outside. He's a bunch of women, so I'm thinking, okay, 2 or 3 days, I go back to the market and everything will be fine. And that 2 or 3 days turned into 4 days, turned into a week and a half, and then I'm just going fucking crazy.
How'd you get out of there?
So eventually,
Alex, take over. I'm serious. Tell
yeah, yeah. So
did it go through your mind that when you get out of there, you could write this incredible diet book?
This fucking guy,
this fucking guy.
So eventually,
fucking Jackie.
So during the time I was there, as I would go to practice, they, you know, these little fucking kids in the Middle East, they, you know, they see these Americans, these athletes, and they kick a soccer ball at you. They think you're a star.
So
it went from me like. These guys, like, thinking I'm this big-type basketball star like Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, in their neighborhood. I'm looking down through my window, and I see these same kids now with, like, machetes, handguns, and shit like that. Literally, the tables just turned.
Like, literally the same kids.
Literally the same kids.
Whoa.
In my neighborhood. The tables just turned. So one day, I decided to go downstairs. I decided to try to make it to my team president's office, which is probably, like, half a mile away. Through the back roads, you know, I got to a point where I was like, literally, I lost like 30 pounds. You know, I almost tried to commit suicide twice. It was fucking crazy. So I get downstairs, and these same kids that I see, they literally moving me back in the building. Like, no, like, basically telling them, like, you don't want none of this. Like, this is not your fight.
That's serious.
So they know you, and they have your back.
So they know me. But you got to say, I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of scared.
Yeah. That's a humble way to say it. That's humility right there. I'd be scared. Like,
so I was kind of scared.
I could shit from just hearing the word machete.
So I'm kind of scared. I'm like, you know, these kids, you know, they've been through a lot these last 2 or 3 weeks. So I don't know how they're going to react to somebody like me. I don't know how they're looking at Americans now. You understand what I'm saying? So the one kid grabs me. He walks up to me, and I'm like, I'm trying to get to Mr. Ahmed. So they know who – everybody knows who Mr. Ahmed is. He's like the team, president of the team, but he's also worked with Gaddafi and his sons because they own the team, everything. So he goes, no, upstairs. I'm like, no, Mr. Ahmed. And then he looks at my face, and he's like, what, like this is not the same guy I've seen for the last month, like, you know, this big-time athlete. So literally these four kids, two of them have machetes, one have a handgun, one in the back of me with a machete, like literally drag me. Half a mile through these back roads. I'm literally like falling, scratching my arms. I was so weak, dragging me to my team president's office just so I could figure out a way to get out of there and get to the Egyptian border.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Man.
Like, it was insane. It was insane. And the way I got out of there, we had to drive to the Egyptian-Libyan border. They told me it was a refugee camp, but it ended up being like the maximum prison, like a max prison on the Libyan border. Supposed to be a 6-hour drive. Turns out to be 12 fucking hours with a driver and one of my teammates, Mustafa, a fucking driver who didn't even speak English. So we get out of Benghazi, and the first checkpoint we get to is a bunch of rebels, machetes, AK-47s. These guys, like, shit's crazy. So they get to the driver, and it's a bunch of ruckus. And I'm like, yo, I look at my teammate. I'm like, yo, listen. I'm like, something's about to go down.
At any point, you're it's
any
up.
Point, any point. Point. But at the time, I taped these knives to my shins, like with the athletic tape. You know the shit you get your ankle tape with. Mm-hmm. I taped like a couple of kitchen knives, small little knives to my shins. And I was like, listen, I said, Mustafa, we got to be prepared to do something that we're gonna live.
No kidding.
That we're gonna live the rest of our life. So they take my teammate out, Mustafa, 6'11", Senegalese guy. They rip him out the fucking front seat. Throw them to the side of the road. Take all our clothes out, all our bags out the back, out the trunk. Throw us on the side of the road. And they put me on the back, had an AK-47 to the back of my head, kicked this fucking 7-footer guy in the back of the knee. He drops to his knees, put one behind his back, and he's just sitting there crying. Like, and I'm like, fuck. So the guy who has a gun behind my back, he also approaches Mustafa, and I'm like, yeah, listen. I'm like, I got to try to do something. So I try to grab a knife, and as soon as I grab a knife, the fucking driver in the front is talking to this other guy. He's looking at our passports, and they finally, literally, just walk away from Mustafa. And I see this guy just crying. I'm like, oh my, I'm like, fuck. I'm like, we just literally dodged a bullet. But
they decided to let you go.
Let's go, because the driver's like, listen, these guys have nothing. They have nothing to do with this. These guys are just basketball players. They just want to get home. We're trying to go to the border. We're trying to go to Saloon.
Well, I mean, that's reasonable.
Yeah, it's reasonable.
Well, I mean, it's reasonable. That's crazy.
Yeah, but you got
they didn't need to. They could easily cap this.
So like, I'm thinking, okay, this is just one checkpoint. We're good. It was like 4 or 5.
No, there's gonna be more of them.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 of us. Oh, yeah. Honestly, we're driving on the side of the road. You see fucking like tanks driving by. You see little kids with just machine guns with all the, you know, like it's shit from the movie. You see all the bullets on their shoulder.
That is the single scariest thing.
It's fucking scary. So we get to this so-called refugee camp, and literally once they open the gates, it's like that first scene of Scarface. I always tell people this when they're fucking on the side of the highway in Miami, all the fucking Cuban refugees, and it's literally like that. So they housed us in like this maximum prison facility, but in like the yard. So they had literally thousands of people there, like women being raped, people getting their shit stolen. And we're just literally sitting there for like 2 or 3 days.
Just hanging on for dear life.
Just hanging off for dear life. Like literally just hanging off for dear life.
Wow.
You know, and me, I'm the cocky American. I got my $150 pair of Kobe Bryant shoes on. I got my fucking LeBron James Nike sweatsuit. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go home. They're going to let me out.
And yeah. here's the craziest part of the story. He gets to, spoiler alert, read Gaddafi's Point Guard, best-selling book. He gets to Egypt. Instead of going home, this cocky bastard's like, nah, I'm still going to play for Egypt. Played basketball, won a championship like a fucking...
What?
Yeah, I still.
Now stay. Wait, man. Whoa! Yeah. I would have fucking swam home.
Yeah. I still. I stayed there. The coach that left me, who fucking told me shit was hitting the fan. That already went
who's
to Egypt.
Who's coaching now?
Yeah, what I'm saying. Is he still around? If we can go back and find that coach, I'll go with you. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. So he.
What did he do? He just made it.
He made it because he was from Alexandria, Egypt. So he was already on the way gone. So he called me and said, "Listen, I just want you to come and spend a couple of days." He kind of felt guilty. I want you to spend a couple of days with me and my family. Spend a couple of days with me and my family because I know you're kind of fucked up about what happened. Like, I actually told him. So he saw me. When he first saw me, he came pick me up from the bus stop. And I didn't, you know, I was 30 pounds lighter. My eyes were fucked up. I was kind of delusional. And I sat with him for 2 days. And he was like, "Listen, you know, the only way I think you could get through this is by playing basketball." And I'm like, "Oh, get the fuck out."
That's actually good advice, though.
Yeah.
Seriously. And the only way I can get by is with 15% of
you. Yeah, so
he was looking for a point guard.
I think that's good advice, though, because you can come home and feel sorry for yourself, and seriously, or you can get back on what you're doing. Yeah. No, that's honor.
Thank you. That's the way he was thinking about it at the time.
I think it's good advice. I mean,
yeah,
you know, like
back on the horse type thing.
Well, I mean, I killed so many people that my psychiatrist told me like you got to start doing shit, and so I took up golf to relieve stress, and so that sucks.
Doesn't it take a lot longer to kill somebody with a golf club?
Nah, you'd be. I always said though, since she told me to start golfing, I'm convinced that if they sent me after Bin Laden with a 5-iron, that motherfucker would still be alive.
You know that joke. Where the cops come to the house and the husband's lying there in a pool of blood and the wife's holding a 5-iron. And the cops look and say, "He's dead." She says, "Yep." "He's, you know, it's your husband?" "Yep." Did you hit him with the golf club?" "Yep." "How many times you hit him?" "I don't know. 4, 5. Put me down for 4.
Put me down.
That's a crazy joke.
That's a really good joke.
That's a good joke. Great joke. Better story. The book's even better because it brings you.
Yeah, I'm going to get that book for sure.
Dude, I'll give it to you. I'll send you on the DL so you have to buy it.
No, I went over there.
You don't have to buy nothing. Yeah,
I'm going to buy it.
No.
Come on.
I was at the Kuwait Hilton.
Wait, are you going to try to compare your story?
No, not even.
Jackie Mullen tells dick jokes.
No, like 2007, and we're at the Kuwait Hilton. It's like a 5-star hotel, and it was Halloween day. It was the day of Halloween. And I said, "Look at all these guys dressed as ghosts." Because all the rich guys are wearing these completely white outfits. Just so hysterical.
Next level.
We actually spent a night in one of Hussein's palaces.
Did you really?
We stayed a night, and I was with Bo Bice. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Is that the American Idol guy?
Yeah.
My girlfriend just told me that. I didn't know who that was. My girlfriend just told me that. I didn't know who that was.
But it was so much fun, but so crazy. We actually flew down the river in a fucking helicopter, like in platoon. I was so scared, and we were in no danger, so I can't even imagine. Yeah. You know.
I love that Jackie Marlin tried to bring him. You just brought yourself back to the war. And to Alex Woman, you just tried to put yourself in that position.
I'm a professional. Yeah. I swear to God, we're in the flak jackets and all. I'm so frightened.
Did you shoot yourself, Jackie?
You know, and they said nobody's ever been killed performing over there. And meanwhile, we're traveling in a van with bullet holes in it. I'm like, don't worry, you're totally safe. Stop!
That's some serious shit.
All right, so both you guys, all you guys dropped names except me and Alex. Dude, tell the story about the tattoo you have. because I don't want to ruin it for you.
Which tattoo. One? That one?
Yeah, the R. Your foundation tattoo. Tell a story with it.
Yeah, we. It's funny. I got a tattoo for it. It's the logo for my company, and it's.
Well, plug your company.
Yeah, so it was robertjoneal.com, and we're selling shirts and hats and all this stuff.
Say it slower so people can understand.
robertjoneal.com.
Robertjoneal.
It was funny though. I got this tattoo on my arm. And my wife and I were sitting at a beach bar about a week afterwards, and I said, Jesse, I think this tattoo's a little bit infected. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, really? The tattoo that you got in a smoke-filled casino on Kid Rock's fucking cruise ship might be infected. yeah. Can you run your hot little ass over to get some fucking Neosporin?
Any other books for you or no?
Sorry?
Any other books you want to write, or are you done with the whole?
I don't know yet. We'll see. We're doing well now. We're happy with this book. It's a good story. It's a good American story, but it doesn't matter what you look like, where you're from. You can do anything you want as long as you work hard, avoid negativity, and never quit. So.
Well, I love how you said it from the book. You were saying, I think it was the Captain Phillips thing. You're like, I'm the white dude from Montana who couldn't swim.
Was it?
Join the military.
I got talked into being a Navy SEAL because I couldn't swim.
So here's what we're going to offer through your stupid podcast.
Thank you, Jackie Martling.
Each of our books, autographed, a package of three books that can only be purchased through.
It's a good idea.
That's great. Actually a great
idea. How crazy a combination.
It's the best thing you said on podcast.
I guess I got to get right to the black jokes.
No. We want to broadcast this, Jackie. a few more things. Last time, so F, your face comes out that you're the guy who killed Bin Laden.
Yeah.
The last time you bought a beer for yourself at a bar.
Oh, I was thinking about that.
You know, it's actually funny that I end up buying a lot of beers for a lot of people because I run into a lot of cops and they won't fucking. I'm kidding. kidding. Sorry.
No. You see cops?
No. It's been. I'm kidding. No. I made that joke because I got a lot of friends of mine back in Butte, Montana that are Butte SWAT guys, Butte, Montana SWAT guys. So it's just funny. No, it's been nice. It's. People are gracious, and I still don't feel like anybody owes me anything. I'd love to come back and just be part of the, without sounding ridiculous, part of the greatest country in the world. So.
Yeah, and I love
part of the fabric.
Jackie, please. When I always say when I tell people about your book, because it's not about killing Bin Laden. I actually want to plug your book because it's not about killing Bin Laden. The last few chapters of killing Bin Laden. The whole book, all you say is, I'm with the coolest fucking guys ever. With the coolest dude.
It's all it is. Like, watching the coolest guys do the coolest stuff, and occasionally I did something cool. That's all it was. You know, turn a corner and you just do it. And, yeah, it was awesome.
A few more minutes. The last, you've signed a million things. I saw it personally. When you came to where I work, you signed 200 things. Uh-huh. What's the coolest thing you ever signed? That was always like, holy shit, I'm signing this.
The coolest? See, you always do this to me.
Yeah, I put you on the spot.
Because you hit me up with the coolest guy that would text me back, and he did, by the way.
This is part two. So if you listen to Rob O'Neill 1, Rob O'Neill 2, Rob O'Neill's like, oh, the coolest
thing. Okay, the coolest thing I've ever signed
is
Kid Rock. I signed the sledgehammer that I brought into Bin Laden's bedroom.
Jeez.
And he traded me for his 1974 Cadillac limousine with suicide doors. So we traded for that.
Jesus.
So that's the coolest thing I've ever signed.
Right, so my Yankee head I was going to trade. That's not going to work. But let me say Alex, that's Jackie. Crazy. So he's like, I'll text Charlie Sheen right
Charlie
now.
Charlie Sheen hit me back, yeah.
So he texted Charlie Sheen. 5 minutes go by. The podcast ends. Charlie Sheen doesn't write back. I'm driving Rob O'Neill home. Beep, beep, beep.
Sheen's a good dude.
Sheen. And then 80 messages from Sheen. He wouldn't stop texting you. Like,
well, yeah, he was excited.
Yeah, he got excited. Okay, I wrote this down. Coolest thing you signed. How about the coolest thing anyone's ever given you?
Why are you putting me on the spot here? Coolest thing ever. Now the jokes are writing themselves.
I know, right?
You're not getting a hand job from me.
Because I would have said Jackie Martling the clap.
You couldn't afford it.
Next question, please.
Okay. Are we betting on the Yankees Red Sox tonight? Because you're garbage Red Sox.
Are they playing tonight?
Oh, they're playing the Yankees tonight. They're playing the real team.
Yeah, of course we're betting.
What's the bet going to be? Let's make a real bet. Like, for real bet. You make the bet. Not no money. Shit. Not money, because I have no money. I don't have Rob on the money.
Like a real bet. I get the Red Sox.
Walk two blocks naked in New York City.
Del Frisco's. A little bit of bone and ribeye.
Okay, wait. On the series. So whoever wins the series, shake on that.
Write it down.
Okay, I want in on this.
Who are you taking? Jackie, you don't know sports, Jackie.
I know sports. Ask me. You know, I'm sitting there the other day. I was at Yankee Stadium, and I'm looking at the pitcher, and I'm saying, look, it's Bob Turley. But he was Asian. Because Bob Turley was number 19 in 1958.
So it's Tanaka now. Thanks, Jackie Marley.
I know sports.
Oh, go ahead, Jackie. Tell us some sports stuff you know then.
So
it's been real. Oh, okay.
Don Larson goes to the mound in the bottom of the seventh inning. He's got a perfect game going. And he looks. He's looking for a signal, and he calls Yogi out to the mound. He says, Yogi, pull up your zipper. I'm getting confusing signals.
I thought you were really going to tell a joke about the 56 World Series. Don Lawson's on a perfect game.
Do you know the talking dog joke? That's a classic.
Let's hear it.
The guy's selling talking dog for $5,000. Another guy shows up and says, well, I want to buy your dog, but you got to show some proof. He says, no problem. Fido, what's it feel like when you sit on sandpaper and the dog goes, rough? Because what are you, a jerk? You're an idiot. The demonstration is not concluded. Fido, what's on top of a house? And the dog goes, roof. He says, what do you think? I'm stupid. I'm out of here. Wait. The demonstration is not concluded. He says, Fido, who is the greatest Yankee ball player of all time? And the dog goes, roof. The guy says, fuck you, when he leaves. And the dog turns to the guy and says, who was it, DiMaggio?
All right. We did the show for an hour. Let's do the plugs. Alex, give the plug for all your books that you're doing.
All right, you can find all my books at find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Alex Awumi. Go on Amazon and find everything at Alex Awumi.
As a layman, I know people aren't going to spell it out.
Yeah, Alex, come on.
Alex, obviously, if you can't spell that, you need to go to hell.
All right.
Wait a minute, half the audience here. Thanks, Alex.
Last name, O-W-U-M-I.
O-W-U-M-I.
Yeah.
Plug yourself more. The Gaddafi's Point Guard, international bestseller, one of my favorite books. That's the reason I reached out to you. It wasn't because of the way you looked.
We found each other on Tinder.
I slid into his DMs hard. I'm like, hi, Alex. Mike from New York.
Wow.
Age, sex, location. And also, you just started a new trilogy called Fire Raven.
Yeah, I'm doing Fire Raven. I do fiction now, which is always what I wanted to do since I was a kid. So I'm doing some badass fiction shit about a female assassin. It's kind of adult shit. It's got some raunchy, dirty shit in there, so you should read it.
I like it.
I know, Jackie. I like it. Give you a plug, Jackie. Oh, God.
June 17th, I'm at the Brokerage.
We have a half an hour here.
I'm at the Brokerage in Belmore, June 17th, from Saturday night. And June 28th, I'm at the Wednesday night at the Parks Casino in Bensalem. And this Saturday, the 10th, I'm at a place called Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie, New York. Because if you do podcasts with internationally famous authors, you do get to work Poughkeepsie.
Thank you.
Okay. Fuck me. I tweet a joke every day at 4:20 p.m. At Jackie Martling. If you want dirty jokes, email me jokeland@aol.com. I send filthy jokes once a month. And 516-9221 has been my joke line 40
awesome.
Years.
Awesome.
40 wow. years.
From Howard, I remember the Howard Stern shit, you would say that stuff.
For 40 years.
That's correct.
And Mr. O'Neill, can you give
me
a plug?
Yes, Rob O'Neill. It's an honor to be here talking about everything. Mm-hmm. Alex and Jackie and Mike, just to be here. My book came out called The Operator. It's about a story about America. It's called The Operator because it's life of the operator. Every Navy SEAL, every Ranger, everyone else, just you got there for different reasons. Mine happened to be because getting dumped by a girl. But the proof is you can do anything you want, anytime you want, as long as you avoid negativity and work hard. And it's available at robertjoneal.com. It's available at theoperatorbook.com. It's a kick-ass book.
And your foundation, if they want to donate to
and
your
my, foundation. And my foundation, I help operators transition to private sector. So that's yourgratefulnation.org. And we help people do what they do because we're dealing with guys that, men and women that can barely afford their mortgage. And they all of a sudden they're asked to go across the world and rescue people and get out. So yourgratefulness.org, we'd appreciate it.
Well,
that's great. That's great. And I didn't say my book is JackieTheJokeMan.com. It's coming out October 24th, and I'm kicking back to PinkTie.org, which is a great charity on Long Island that accumulates all this money and gives it out to different charities. But they're dollar in, dollar out, as opposed to salaries and crazy stuff like this. This guy does it right in his business. And just go to JackieTheJokeMan.com. But I really think you should package the three of these joke books together.
As
a gift for somebody.
I text all you guys all the time. I'm going to set something up.
And I do want to say to you guys, I have done a real lot of podcasts, and this was one of them.
It's fun.
Yeah, this is fun.
Well, I've enjoyed myself. I've never had anyone know every joke that I told, but you're the joke man, so
I was polite. I knew all of them, too. I let you finish it.
And I'll tell you this. So when I did the podcast, Alex did my podcast yesterday. I'm like, hey. And when I told him last week, I'm like, hey, I just had Rob O'Neill on. He's like, I know. I saw your Twitter. I would love to come on. I'm like, dude, come Tuesday. Alex was leaving this morning, and he actually changed his whole travel plans to come on the podcast with you. Jackie was awesome. I texted Jackie when you told me you had problems with your personal jet, because that's how big time you are. And Jackie said to me, dude, just let me know. I'm coming all the way from Long Island just to come here.
Ooh.
You and Rob.
And this was great. I'm so glad the whole thing worked out like that.
And Rob flew in and landed, and his luggage, you actually brought your luggage here.
It's right there, yeah.
Yeah, at Jack Dempsey's, 36 West 33rd Street, around the corner from the Empire State Building, between 5th and 6th.
Hey, just don't tell ISIS. Yeah. I'm going to smoke a cigarette and have a fucking fuck, dude.
I'm not going to have any
sleep. So we have to end the show with a nice, not too off-color joke.
Well, let me say thank you, and then you end the show with a joke. So actually, all kidding aside, thank you for changing your plans. Thank you for coming from Long Island.
No problem.
Trip. So thank you.
No problem.
Oh, and thank you to the young ladies for being here, because if we didn't have you to show off for, we wouldn't have said a word.
Yeah, we would have sat here and anyway, if you like my podcast, just go to Mike Sappho on any podcast app. Now, Jackie Marlin, take us out, big guy.
So a cab driver picks up a nun. Cab driver picks up a nun, and he looks in the rearview mirror, and he says, you know, sister, I always fantasize about being with a nun. She says, yeah, you and everybody else. You Catholic? He says, yes, I am. She says, pull over. He pulls over. She gets in the front seat and gives him the best blowjob he's ever had. She gets stunned. He feels guilty. He says, sister, I got to tell you something. I'm not really Catholic. She says, yeah, my name's Ralph. I'm going to a costume party.